The machine is ever turning, ever hungry. How do you avoid being eaten? How do you avoid drifting into becoming another cog? Can you escape the machine? Should you try, or is it impossible? Pondering these questions and more on The Mention the Machine.
You know what's funny?
Clowns?
I just realized. No, clowns are never funny.
No, they're not. I hate clowns.
I just realized that in our intro we're playing Russian music, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mensch is a German word.
Uh-huh.
We're all over the map. Anyway.
And we're Americans.
Yeah, some of us.
I mean, some of us.
You don't have a firearm. You're not an American.
I am vintage farm equipment. I'm American. I helped build this country. And my ancestors helped build this country.
Sure, so did mine. They're Irish. Anyway, welcome back to the Mention the Machine podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It is, and others, it is episode 56. We will get Joel a firearm eventually. First, we got to get him to a jiu-jitsu class and get him on the path. But, Joel, it's almost the end of August.
Yes, it is.
What's going on?
Well, I experienced a war room situation at work.
Ooh. Joel stood up. He had to stand up after his cupcake.
I hated every minute of it. My boss told me this happens once a quarter. I'm thinking, this sounds like bad planning.
Uh-huh. Bad management. You have the same problem every quarter.
No, it's a different problem every quarter. But the problem is, it's like, oh, well, we're going to work 10, 12-hour days to get this problem solved. Now, this project I worked on was an idea I've had years ago that no one ever listened to me about. I had to prove myself to these people. Well, first they decided to give me all these projects to work on, which I was not capable of doing. I had to keep asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
No one was like, oh, don't be afraid to ask for help. I'm like, that's my jam. I'm brutally honest. I'm going to tell you if I can't do something. But yeah, it was a slog. It was a huge slog.
And that's why you took the dramatical sabbatical?
Yes, I did. I wrote a nice
Come on, that's a great term, and nobody's mentioned it to me. Like a dramatical sabbatical. Yeah, when you take a week off of work because they burnt you, mm-hmm. Dramatical sabbatical.
I've been burned since the 23rd of July. Almost a month straight of just bullshit.
Woo-wee.
And then the indie dude I worked with, who kept telling me, no, you're wrong, no. Guess who's wrong, Colonel Sanders? The water boy was right.
No, you're wrong, Colonel Sanders.
He got sick, so he didn't show up, and I kept throwing him under the bus. Oh, we wrote this query. Oh, Rogov, I wrote this query. We should do this way. I was going to do it that way, but Rogov told me no.
Under the bus or under the rickshaw?
Under the bus.
That's probably a racist joke, anyway.
No, rickshaw's for Asian people, I think.
Indians or Asians?
Damn it! Keep missing that one.
You ain't been watching your Jeopardy, son.
No, I had this argument with my coworker. Oh, you're not coworker, my friend of mine who's also Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Because he always gives me shit about the Asian holidays and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, technically I'm an Indian. I'm like, technically I'm an Asian. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, I saw a clip of George Carlin talking about why he won't say Native American. And he said, first of all, they're not Indians. He said, first of all, they're not Indians, because back in Columbus's time, they weren't called Indians. When he was trying to get to India, it was called Hindustan. And he talks about the term Indian probably comes from when Columbus described them. He basically called them people of God, and that's what it translates to. The Indian, the way it was pronounced in that thing, it came about from that. And he said, nobody's native to this actual land. They came from Asia, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody that's actually native probably is still in Africa. Those are the only real natives on the planet. And then he said, and the worst fucking thing is after we stole their land and all their killed all their culture and everything else, the next thing we did was we named them after ourselves. it's like an extra insult. But I digress. Back to August.
Yes, so I spent a lot of hours learning SQL stuff that no one ever taught me. One of my favorite quotes was that, so when I name shit, I don't always put an underscore between stuff. I just, like, for example, I had to name the table and just put V2 at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my boss said, well, I always put underscores for that. So next day I work with this Indian contractor, and I told him the name of the table, he put underscores. I'm like, see? Everyone does an underscore. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. He goes, well, I was raised to do this way. I'm like, I was raised feral, so, you know, all bets are off.
Inside me are two wolves. They are my parents arguing. I'm crying on the steps.
But it's like, dude, do you understand that everything I learned at this company was brute force?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Those are the scary people.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't have a necessary, they don't have the prescribed MO that everyone else does.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the movie The Knight's Tale, when they talk about the guys doing jousting. It's like, everyone else ducks their head so they don't get hit. He does it head on. It's like, he's fearless. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah. Yeah. That only carries you so far, though, because there's a certain point where technique is developed for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
August has been nothing too major for me. I've done quite a few books, I think, this month. I finished Thinking Fast and Slow, which was told to me was a critical thinking book, but it was really is like kind of an economics book, and like the way people make logical fallacies, which I guess is kind of critical thinking, but Christ, was it boring, and it could have been half the size it was. I started the Checklist Manifesto, which has been good.
What's that?
The Checklist Manifesto.
Okay.
So apparently up until the early 2000s, like ICUs and surgeons and stuff didn't have a checklist they ran through.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like they implemented this magical checklist, which to you and I seems like, well, you should have a fucking checklist if you're doing something that serious. Like, no, they had high infection rates because people were not checking off the box that they washed their hands before surgeries, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's like magically they implemented these checklists and the shit fell off by 80%, but then they had to go sell it to the rest of the hospitals around the country, but they couldn't do it easily because of the egos of these surgeons saying, like, you can't tell me you're doing this, or this is that I'm not doing these things. And mm-hmm. it's like, dude, you're simple.
Well, the other thing, too, is it took me 2 months to get through the last Wheel of Time book. That was a slog. But then again, work also stopped me from having the time to do it. So.
Yeah, it's also, I don't think it's a slog, I think it's just a long book.
Well, 40 hours, it's 2 hours a day is not that bad. Well, but when you're working 10, 12-hour days, it's kind of hard to put that time in.
Well, we should have done Wheel of Time back when you were getting divorced and you were riding 16 miles a day.
16? What are you talking about?
Whatever it was, fucking, I don't know.
20, 30 miles a day?
You weren't doing 30.
You want to bet? There's times I went out 4 times a day to go biking.
Well, you had Angry Joel had some reading time, I guess. We need to get Joel angry about some shit again. Some shit that only pedaling will do. Joel gave up on the tires. He gave up on the iron. That's why we got to get Joel to the jiu-jitsu mats and get him to channel his energy again.
I don't want to go to jail.
You ain't going to jail. Those people signed up to be choked. They signed the waiver. I do think you'd enjoy jiu-jitsu. I think you'd actually... I don't know. You don't have brothers, right?
So nope.
You didn't. And I think you told me one wrestling story where you enjoyed yourself. So I think you'd enjoy grappling because it's that, but it's also the scientific technical part where like you got to learn the techniques and when to apply them and the chess move of this technique failed, so I'm gonna fall back to this one. You'd enjoy it. Plus, when all else fails, there's the brute strength aspect of it, and you're like fucking like me, where you got that hayseed retard strength from like doing stupid weird labor shit. Where you're like, I'm not fucking gonna go get a dolly. I'm just gonna carry this fucking thing. So, and then that always surprises people.
Oh, you've been using the power the whole time. Bam! Right in the kisser.
You think leverage is your friend? That's not my dominant arm. I don't care about that elbow.
Yeah, my ledger bill is $290 this month, which kind of scared the shit out of me.
Mm.
Well, that's what the solar.
Yeah, ours was, we had an $800 electric bill.
Woo!
From those 3 weeks where it was like 90 degrees, mm-hmm. and we're running 5 window units all day.
I don't feel so bad now.
No. It's like...
I was seriously scared. I'm like, how much electricity did I use?
I remember before we moved here, and it was just Di living in this house by herself. She had a couple months in a row, she had an $800 a month gas bill from heating this house. And, like, the windows and stuff being that bad. I was like, holy shit.
You guys get those windows replaced?
Oh, yeah. She got the windows replaced and stuff. And the heating situation's been a lot better. She also... on like the budget program and all that, but it's like still like having that's astronomical.
Well, like, I just got my Windows done like back in April, and like I'm like this is what energy efficient Windows, like what did I do?
Yeah,
I think my AC needs replaced next.
Yeah,
but what I think I'm gonna do is I'm gonna attempt to get my furnace replaced in October maybe, and then do the air conditioner in like March or April.
I think you might need to flip those. Probably easier to get the air conditioner replaced in October when not everyone's doing furnace stuff.
Well, the problem is if I get the air conditioner done, I'm still spending a lot of money in the winter for them.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing, I guess.
Well, the thing is though, I just need to know what furnace to get. I'll do it my damn self. I don't need help with the air conditioner. I need help with the air conditioner because you got to put Freon in.
Yeah, it's got to be pressurized and all Freon that shit.
Freon is a controlled substance, apparently.
Goddamn meth heads. Mm-hmm. Ruining everything. Maybe please. I'd like some meth. Go over to Joel's house, help him put in his air conditioner, get some meth.
What are we
cooking today, Joel?
Well, I remember like 2017, my dad had needed a new furnace, and like, we got the furnace, he bought it. The guy is like, I don't think I can do it. I'm like, what do you mean you don't think you can do this? I'm like, you take care of the duct work, I'll do electrical work. 8 hours later.
And on a much smaller scale, I did my first bathroom caulking this week.
Ah.
I re-caulked the bathtub.
Did you use light caulk or dark caulk?
It was white caulk. Mm-hmm. Silicon based because it's for the bathtub. And I think I learned the problem with my caulk gun. Like the tube of caulk was too small for the plunger to fit in there. Mm-hmm. And I took off the end of the plunger part, so it was just like the bolt. Mm-hmm. But that kept like shifting everything around, so it got real fucking messy. So I think I need to buy attachments or bigger tubes of caulk.
Just buy a new caulk gun. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, well, I like the one I got. No, I mean, there's other caulking projects around here I got to do, but it's like caulking is simple. It's just messy. It looks way better. Like I say, it looks 100 times better.
You use a credit card trick?
No.
You take your credit card and you slide it across the thing to make the thingy.
No, I just use my finger like a dummy. By that point, the bottom tube of the caulk was all like shifted aside, so I was sticking my finger in there and slathering the caulk on anyway. So,
because of my 3D printer, I'm now a little bit paranoid about chemical burns.
Just a little?
Well, yeah, because with the resin printers, apparently you're not supposed to touch the resin. Because it's fine the first couple times. But then eventually your body just goes, nope, we're done with this. Chemical burn all the way, my friend. So I'm very like anti-touching chemicals now.
Nice.
Because I don't want to have that surprise one day.
Yeah.
Oh, I bought a weed burner.
What's that?
A little torch to cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Instead of cutting weeds, you burn them.
Yeah. We were talking about that. I might need to borrow. Well, how much was that? That was probably cheap, huh?
$50.
Oh, that ain't bad. I'll buy my own. I was gonna borrow it from you, but fuck that.
I don't care. You can borrow it.
No, I'll buy one, and you and I'll just fucking be out here setting fires and shit and scare the neighbors.
It was amazing because like apparently my friend showed me how to use it, and it's like so it doesn't really you don't have to, you can either just give it a little bit of heat to kill basically we're doing killing the chloroform, and then plant can't really do anything.
Yeah.
So he goes, the other thing you do is you hit it once, and when it dies, you come back again, you just burn the shit out of it.
Yeah. And then you salt the earth.
Well, you don't have to, because it doesn't come back for 3 to 6 weeks. Mm. I got all that gravel I put in the back of my yard.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hit that with a weed whacker, because that's just projectiles.
Yeah.
I found this new to me. This weed, instead of growing up, it grows out like a spider. So, like, I can't hit the weed whacker. I can't hit it with a salt lawnmower. If I hit it with a weed whacker, I'm going to hit a rock. I'm gonna hit someone's car.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'd rather burn my property down than hit someone's car or window.
Yeah, I wouldn't burn my property down before I broke somebody's window and let them come say something. Well, but I get your point.
Well, basically, what I do is I take the hose for added safety. I take the hose out and I get it ready in case something doesn't go out because it's not dry.
Yeah.
So if I hit it with a hose, I'm good. But
yeah, fucking weeds.
Found out my neighbor, my neighbor moved out to, he drove out to like Arizona and like New Mexico. So he's living out of his Jeep. That's his dream.
Yeah.
His mother doesn't approve. My father doesn't approve. I'm like, of course you guys don't approve. You guys are old.
Which is funny because they grew up through the hippie thing where that was what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, peace, love, and all that. But then they bought everything up and fucked everybody else over.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking boomers.
So she took the house and she's going to move in. And there's this giant, like, it's half shrubs, half weeds. And, like, last year when I moved in, I said, hey, dude, do you mind if I cut these down to the root? He didn't understand what I meant by down to the root.
It's your buddy? No, not the same dude. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought the Matrix was respawning.
Wow. So I literally...
Get him, he's got loot.
So I basically cut everything down to the ground. And, like, you could see, like, across, like, two or three properties of that.
Yeah.
Well, last year it grew, and then this year I was going to cut it again. Just go, oh, I'm going to get a survey. I want to put a fence up. Because she has bees and stuff. She doesn't want kids going through her yard. And she got a survey done. All those bushes and weeds are on her side of the property.
Nice.
So guess what I'm not doing anymore?
Mm-mm. Nope, nope, nope.
But what really pissed me off, like, the survey guys came out, I think it was last week. And they, no, it was 2 weeks ago. No, it was during the bullshit. It was last week. Wait, weeks before.
That's on Joel's fucking calendar every year. Bullshit week. 2024 BC.
But,
this kid... I guess it's AD, sorry.
These kids were kept... This one kid had a little, one of those little pocket rockets. Mm-hmm. He kept driving through my yard. I'm like... And I'm on this call. I'm like, son of a bitch, I can't go and yell at him.
Mm.
So then, like, a couple days later, the survey guys came out. And, like, it was one of those things where I wasn't, like, on an important call. I'm like, I'll be right back. I gotta go yell at somebody. They're like, okay. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh, survey. I'm like, I come back. I'm like, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, they're surveyors. They're allowed to be there. He's like, oh, okay. So I tell the story about the kids on the motorcycle. It's like, oh, yeah, you gotta take care of that.
Yeah. The one day I was, I looked out my back window on the third floor and I saw a random black guy. And the black guy, him being black is not really part of the story, but it kind of is, walking through my backyard. And I said, well, what's this?
That's not Joel.
So, of course, you know, I get my gun and I go, look. Turns out he's doing fucking pointing work for my neighbor who just told him to go through my backyard. And I come out and my neighbor's fucking there standing with him. And I'm like, what's going on, gentlemen? Like neither one of them realized they almost got shot. Like, they're just in my backyard for no fucking reason. Like... That's why I don't like my neighbor, because he doesn't tell me shit like that. Like, if he just said, hey, I'm having my house pointed, there might be a guy. Because mm-hmm. when we had our tree trimmed and shit, like, I went over, like, a good neighbor and said, hey, there might be leaves in your yard. The guys are going to come get it. They might knock on your door and tell you. But he had his garage torn down, didn't tell me, fucking dinged up my car. Like, he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Like a good neighbor, Eugene is there.
Well, Eugene's going to fucking... I don't know. Eugene might not stop. Eugene might knock on your door when your house is on fire. You pissed Eugene off too many times. Mara will tell you there's only so much where, like, me trying to be a nice guy goes, and then it's like, well, when you're done, you're done. You're mm-hmm. off that list. Like, I don't care what happens to you. Like,
I lucked out because my neighbor on my right, he's like, yeah, the guys who live there, they hated us. I'm like, dude, you're good. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
That's pretty much, like, don't fuck with my stuff. I won't fuck with your stuff mm-hmm. is kind of how I am. But, like,
so when I moved in, there's a tree my dad wanted to cut down. And the guy didn't do it in time. He wanted me to move the close date. I'm like, you don't understand. This would cost me thousands of dollars if I move this close date. So the guy cut it down, but there's two other trees that he was worried about. He's like, you need to talk to your neighbor about that. Well, I guess the kid's grandfather bought him some chainsaws and stuff before he died. They're going to cut him down this year. So, like, I'm out there. He's like, oh, we don't want to. I'm like, dude, if you're cutting this tree down and we're saving money, you can do whatever you need.
Yeah.
I'll come help.
I saw a thing that fucking made me excited, and I realized I'm absolutely an old man. Ryobi has a one-handed chainsaw that works off the battery. And mm-hmm. I was like, that is fucking sick.
Is the long one or the short one?
The short one. I was like, that is sick. Like, I need one of those.
I think we have that one. We also have the pole arm one, too.
Who's we?
My dad.
Oh, so your dad has it. Mm-hmm. You'll eventually have it.
In only a couple more days.
Jesus. Woo! I guess you're taking that other pack of Hostess cupcakes for your dad. Tell the Beatus it was me.
It was actually fun. I was over there the other day, and he was complaining about his feet. He goes, go get me some hot water. I'm like, how hot do you want it? Because when I was younger, he goes, I want it hot as you can get it. I'm like, okay.
Old Japanese man hot. Hot springs hot.
I bring the water back. He goes to put his foot in. He's like, ah! I'm like, you said you want it hot as I can get it. I do my job the best of my ability.
Sometimes better than required.
Uh-huh.
What else is going on, Joe?
I'm starting to realize I'm very talented.
Talented or skilled?
What's the difference?
I think talent starts you on the path. So a lot of people that are good at drawing, people say they're talented, but it's like they had an initial spark to be good at it, so which kept them going, so they became skillful at it. Skill is developed over time. Talent is like the initial thing, and a lot of people, I think, burn out because they're talented, and people tell them, oh, you're so good, and they don't ever follow up to build that skill.
I guess I'm very skillful, then.
I'd say that. I'd say that's more probably more accurate. I think you're more like me, where you're like more than generally competent in a lot of things, and you can pick up other things quicker because you're more than generally competent in a lot of things. And it's like, I don't think I'm specifically talented at anything, but I think I am skillful in a lot of things.
Like, I can relate a lot of things to other things, so I can learn it faster.
Right.
I saw it in the one guy I did the GPS project for. I'm like, I'm a journalist. He goes, we had lunch yesterday. He goes, you know, he said something a couple weeks ago. I'm like, you're a journalist. I'm like, I think I'm a journalist too. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he's telling me about the company he works for. They do, he's a head of innovation. He's like, yeah, you got to know, have a lot of different skills. I'm like a journalist. Like, yeah, I guess you're right. Because, like, I've been messing with GPS projects since, like, 2007. Like, I remember back in 2007 when I was mountain biking. Like, I want a GPS tracker for my bike. So I bought a little GPS engine, a basic stamp, and I started building my own little tracker. I'm like, wasn't the best hardware, but still.
And still, you're playing with fringe technology at a certain point, and that's kind of cool.
But it's funny, like, these guys, they've been flying for years and didn't even know how GPS worked. Mike, what do you mean you don't know how it works?
I don't know. I always feel like, I think it's a comparison trap that you and I are both in. I think there's a comparison trap where we're looking at people that are so far above us on stuff that they're, like, specialists in, like, doing this shit, and we're like, that's cool, I want to be like that. But then there's the people below us that are not even fucking on the same page with any of the shit that we're thinking about and talking about. And it's like, I think we're comparing ourselves up there and not thinking about, like, how we're in our own little world over here where we've got these skills, where we know how things like GPS work and fucking all this other weird random shit that we know how to do. Like, it's a bad place to be.
Yeah. Like I said, that week and a half of work, I mean, past 3 weeks, but the last week and a half was the worst. Made me think, like, I shouldn't be doing this job. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, why don't we do it this way? Well, that's actually a good idea. It's like, I might not know the incantations of what you're trying to do, but I know how to future-proof this thing.
And yeah, but the thing is, we probably do know. I think the problem is that we're too used to keeping our head down and out of the way, and that's why other people that are willing to put their step forward first are the ones that are getting ahead, and they might not be the most competent ones.
Like, my former manager told me this concept she was trying to explain. She couldn't figure out a term for it, so I asked ChatGPT about it, and it came up with two different terms for it. And basically, it's like it said, sounds like AJ is describing a unique skill that combines foresight, intuition, and analytical insight. A term might capture this could be preemptive insight or solution intuition. And it's like preemptive intuition emphasizes the ability to foresee potential issues before diving into the work, while solution intuition highlights the intuitive understanding whether solutions will work, coupled with the capability to analyze the problem effectively. Both terms aim to emphasize the blend of foresight and analytical thinking that AJ described. It's almost like pre-compiling a problem, Like, you got 10 solutions, and like, well, these 7 solutions are out off the table automatically because they're not going to work for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
But these 3, these have potential.
Yeah. There's a real job that's is apparently a hard job to get, but it's a futurist.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's an Asian, that Japanese guy that was pulled on Discovery Channel.
Well, my company itself has a, they're looking for people that do that, a futurist. It's like, you're basically got to be Tony Stark. You got to be, like, thinking that far in the future and, like, inventing solutions to problems that people haven't even thought of yet. And it's like, I fucking wish I could be that good of a thinker of stuff to be like, well, you know, fucking this is going to come down like we were talking about the Chinese satellite stuff. Mm-hmm. Be like, I didn't think about that stuff until I read this book, and now I'm like, we're all fucking screwed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought this GPS project, like, they want to track multiple things. So I set up my data to come back with the first, in the CSV file, the CSV line that comes across the data line is the first entry is the ID. Well, it doesn't matter how many IDs you have. I just got updated at the front end to say, use this different color for the different IDs. Like, if one worked, then definitely 4 is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the guy's like, well, we had a problem with the data. I'm like, well, guess what? I keep a copy on the SD card of both the raw data and the interpreted data. So I can check it on the SD card. I can check it when it goes out to the thing. I can check it when it gets to the ground station. I got 3 points that I can check the data to tell you what went wrong. Like, all that shit I did ahead of time. It's like, I'm like, holy shit. I did some engineering here.
Yeah, like, in this book, one of the problems that they're talking about is they build... But all the governments of the world are doing the same thing where they're collecting large amounts of data, but they have the problem of they have to store that data, plus they have to be able to search that data, which becomes a power problem. And so they're running into the same problem even when they're building these quantum computers. Like, a quantum computer needs massive amounts of power in order to search through this data and to be able to do what it does. And it becomes obvious when you're building a quantum computer, because suddenly you're building power plants and shit, and it's like, it's a tricky problem. I don't know, it's very weird. Very, very above my head for that shit, but it's very terrifying to think about the world being that way, because the point of the book is that it's... The book, by the way, is Red Sky Morning from Jack Carr, former Navy SEAL, but he's talking about quantum computing and stuff, and the idea that the U.S. brought one online, but it also went underground once they brought it online, and like it's only communicating to the one dude because it likes the dude, it doesn't trust anybody else. And the other nations are bringing theirs online, and the one they brought online, they did a thing where they faked an assault on Hawaii. A Chinese missile silo attacked Hawaii so that the data centers in Hawaii would dump their data back to the mainland. All the data they collected, because they can't just store it because it wouldn't be up to date. So they dump it, and they caught it in transit, but it's encrypted. So they had their AI catch it, but their AI also had to de-encrypt it. And so our AI fucking caught that small window of what they're doing and realized there's this other AI in play. It's like, if this other AI fucking starts trying to figure out where the other AI is, then it'll become aware of it also, and it's a weird fucking cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm. There was a, I forget the name, I think it was Avogadro Corp. It's basically a 4-book series. It was kind of cool. The guy wanted to create an email optimization program called Elope, and it basically spawned AI.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to kill it, and they ended up not killing it. In the next book, you find out that there's this kid, and he's building, there's some online game they play, and he's created some kind of, like, it's an algorithm based off of, like, animals or something to build these tanks and shit. And his uncle is in the Russian mafia and needs a new virus because the AI that they didn't kill is fighting all the spam and killing the spam bots. So they try to build a better spam bot, and it basically creates another AI, a series of AIs to try to take over the world. So then it basically comes out of hiding and saves the day. And then there's like 2 other books. And it's like, they go up the whole cat and mouse game of like AIs fighting AIs. And the one guy's like trying to keep up. And he's like, he can't.
Yeah.
Like, the computers are having these millisecond battles. And he's just like, I can't even think this fast.
Yeah. That's the thing with these AIs. They're saying like the AI that America is going to bring online is gonna they're going to put it in charge of like all the counter tactical stuff. So if a nuke gets launched in China or whatever, before the generals are out of bed to make a decision, the AI has intercepted it and done what it needs to do. And it's like, well, China's doing something similar, and it's like fucking crazy nonsense. Like it's like that stuff makes me just want to fucking like cut the power lines to my house and just fucking. The monk meditating by the waterfall. Like, it's the same fucking thing over and over again. Like, I can't worry about the stuff that's not, that I have no control over. Except that it's like, well, it's election season. I should have some control over this. Like,
so,
you think you fucking.
You think your vote counts? How many congressmen do you own?
I wish.
I got an angry ex-wife one time about elections, Mike. If I had Elon Musk money, I'd have us all wearing hats on Tuesday because I wanted us to.
Hats on a Tuesday. I don't know. It's depressing when I get to that level of thinking about it. And it's like, I can't fucking.
Sounds like someone needs more iron in their diet.
Sounds like what?
Sounds like someone needs more iron in their diet.
No, no. I added magnesium.
No, lifting weights.
Oh, yeah. I need. No, I haven't been to jiu-jitsu in 2 days, but that's because my neck hurts. Yeah, it's fucked up. I don't know. The fucking it's entirely the premise of the podcast, the Mention Machine. Like, what can we do and what can't we do? Is like, what should we be doing? Like, can we influence any of this? Can we not? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel bad bitching about politics, but then again, I'm not involved in local government at all. Like, I'm not even involved in like my neighborhood government.
Well, here's the thing: you got to wait these people to die before you can get a step in there.
Who, people in local government?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, my fucking neighborhood government? Like, yeah. No, it's like...
Is it a bunch of old people?
I don't know who's in there, but I feel very fortunate that I'm not involved in a PTA somehow. Actually, I'm very fortunate that my wife is not involved in a PTA somewhere, because there would be some sort of fucking dispute, and it's like, well, here comes old violence. Violence will solve the problem. It's like, well, no, that's not the way to do it. And it's like,
Are you sure? Trial by combat seemed to work pretty well.
It wouldn't be trial by combat. It would be fucking black bags in a van. It would be the shit that, like, fucking the 80s trained me for.
Well, like I said, my favorite joke from the one podcast. You know, so they got Sunset do what he wanted? They took him in a dark room with a single light bulb, took out one of those 8x10 vanilla envelopes, took out a picture, put it on the floor of the table. What's that in your mouth? You want this picture to disappear? Here's how you vote. And then I think about, like, the other day I was talking to my buddy about P. Diddy and how the Boondocks predicted all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, P. Diddy is basically Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. They're making him scapegoat. But even him is, like, they're not... Enough people aren't coming out about it, which just makes me... It's fucking disturbing how many people are into pedophilia and fucking power, and it's like, what the fuck is that?
But here's the thing. So, Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy both did something very smart. They know people had vices.
They recorded it all.
They recorded it all, and no one's gonna say shit, because they don't be exposed.
Oh, shit. We didn't even fucking mention this at all. The billionaire suddenly dying from the tech company so the CIA can take the AI. Have you heard about that?
I just heard about an agenda today.
Woo! Oh, it's shit. It's going down. Everyone likes to believe the CIA did shit in the past, but they're not doing it now. It's like, nope.
The other guy I listened to, my favorite, he's on a round table. He goes, CIA never did anything in the 70s. I mean, the 80s. I mean, the 90s. I mean, 2000. I mean, 2010. I mean, yeah. Kurt. The CIA, they're not doing it now, right?
No, they didn't kill Kennedy. Like, why would they do that? The CIA is good people. Like, they're not fucking out for their own selves.
Maybe one thing they did in the 90s. Maybe one thing they did in the 2000s.
Right. CIA's behind this podcast. It's all misinformation, folks.
Well, it's the thing they're saying. The one guy was saying that cancel this t-shirt dude. Adam was saying how, like, he's a false flag because he's got holes in his conspiracies.
Who?
Cancel this t-shirt guy you always send me.
Cancel this t-shirt?
The guy that does all the stuff about the...
the guy that fucking, like, who owns what in the groceries? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because he reported on the yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the reason the yacht went down was because they didn't close one of the hatches during the storm.
Yeah, right. How convenient. Fucking, what's the first fucking lesson one of your parents told you? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here.
I just love that, like, it's conspiracy theorists against conspiracy theorists now.
I just love that people are fucking seeing this stuff after fucking many years and be like, oh, have you heard about this? It's like, well, motherfucker, like, I've been on this shit for years. Like, mm-hmm. Fucking, the fucking whole thing with Texas. The whole thing with Texas and the fucking Planned Parenthood, where they're actually harvesting organs. A video showed up of them fucking, the Planned Parenthood people at a convention talking about how when the baby dies, they don't even see a baby anymore. They just see two lungs and fucking this and that. And it's like, that's the shit Alex Jones was talking about on Joe Rogan. And I'm like, this motherfucker might be sane.
Uh-huh.
He might be so sane that he's seen so much insane shit that it blew his mind. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, come on, like, this dude, like, well, I can't be in a world where I can't trust anything.
Yeah, you are. They were talking about the one of, I guess Elon Musk put out a video, but he wanted to be under Trump's administration. And the name of the acronym for the horn he wanted was Doge.
Oh,
it's
Christ.
Like, it's a fucking joke. Like, you guys don't see this? I'm like, some of these guys are so far deep into this shit, it's like, they can't even see a joke for a joke. And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, but there's too much of that. There's, like, I get worried when the people in power have my sense of humor. Like, you shouldn't be making dick and fart jokes at that level. Like I feel bad that Obama in the DNC was making dick jokes about Donald Trump. It's like, I thought you were the party that was like, they go low, we go high type of thing. But, like, now you're, like, I hate it all, man. I hate it all.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not. Not okay.
It is okay.
It's not okay.
You know what's okay? Because we're not the ones drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's right. We're drinking the rain. I got branched chain amino acid aminos. What the hell? What's that BCAA is branched chain amino acids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says aminos again. That's like an ATM machine.
Uh-huh.
I can't trust this fucking drink.
It's like the other day, one of the head people in my department was like, oh, that was a brilliant idea, Joel. I'm like, This feels like Stockholm Syndrome. You're trying to trauma bond with me. No, no, no. No, no, no.
There are no friends in the pit, sir.
I don't know what you're thinking of trying to do, my friend, but it ain't going to work here.
We started watching Rescue Me, that Dennis Leary firefighter show. The one guy goes into the, like, a bar, and he's looking for the one dude that reported that there's like 20 gay firefighters in New York City or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, "I didn't catch your name." He said, "I didn't throw it." Christ! In all the bad stuff in the world, at least there's Deadpool and Wolverine. That was a fucking good flick.
I'm waiting for it to come to streaming.
Mm-hmm. It's worth watching.
Because all the commercials made me annoyed. I'm like, this feels like Cloverfield all over again.
They did over-commercialize it, but it's also...
No, it wasn't over-commercialized, but the fact is that the commercial didn't tell me much about the movie. So
well, that's
like,
good. That's the way you want it.
What I'm saying is, Cloverfield was so vague, I'm like, well, I have a feeling it's going to be dog shit. And I watched Clover, I'm like, this is total dog shit.
I like the movie. I just...
We're talking about Cloverfield or Wolverine and Deadpool?
Both. I liked Cloverfield. My problem is that if you and I were friends at any point in our lives and you were constantly walking around recording shit, I'd punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I'd punch you in the face so many times that you would stop recording shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not just walking around recording everything. Oh, there's a goddamn catastrophe. We're recording this. Is that a fucking running? It's like, you dumb shit, you're dying right now. Like, you're the first person tripped for Dracula. Like, fuck that. Like, I don't have to outrun, I don't have to outrun Dracula. I have to outrun you. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm tripping you, you're dead. You're recording this shit, fuck it.
See, here's my philosophy. J.J. Abrams, at that point, was just about... We started finding out his trick was he loved making mysteries, but he sucked at fucking closing them up.
There's so many people that are the same way, though. Like, Grant Morrison, one of my favorite authors, he does that shit. Like, he introduces so many great concepts, and then it's like... I always feel like he had this bigger plan for the end, but then they canceled him before he could get to it. And it's like, I hate that. I hate that happening. The only person I feel that ever really sticks the landing with what they're doing is Jonathan Hickman. Because he wrote multiple comics for Marvel that all tied back into the end. And it was like, goddamn, you didn't realize what he was doing when you read the first comic. It's like, oh, that was a good comic. That was a good fucking Fantastic Four comic. And then went on to write the Avengers. Like, oh, that was a good Avengers thing. And then he went on to write, like, Secret Wars. And he's like, this is all one big fucking story. And at the end, you're like, oh, fucking bravo, sir. Fucking bravo.
Well, like I said, my whole Lost philosophy was, he's like, I got this idea, and no one's going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But he didn't understand the internet.
Yeah.
And they figured, I'm like, well, I can't do that now.
To be fair, nobody understood the internet right then.
Like, yeah. But, like, he's like, I am the master of making mysteries. I'll never figure this out.
Well, if a polar bear walked through the picture for no reason.
Oh, shit, they figured it out. Okay, let's go this adventure. And, like, 15 storylines down the road, like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this. But, like, Westworld fucking, they were great. Because they gave you a mystery, everyone solved it, but they're like, oh, yeah, you know that one. Did you know this one over here?
Yeah. I saw a TikTok that was talking about how Westworld you can't find out on HBO Max anymore. Mm. HBO is trying to... HBO apparently fucked that show up so bad in their minds that they don't want it to be known they did it.
I heard that there's a rumor they're making a new season.
Probably. Well, I mean, they're probably rebooting it or something, but I don't know.
It's out there somewhere.
I keep trying to get people into Mr. Robot.
Christy actually wants to watch Mr. Robot. I'm all excited because I get to watch it all over again.
Yeah, like Mara has a thing where she doesn't want to watch a show that I watched before, but I'm like, I want to rewatch it because I know I missed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know the payoff to that show was fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I told people online about it. I told them about, like, my coworkers and stuff. I was like, you know, fucking as far as, like, shows about hackers and stuff go, like, that's the one to watch.
The thing I'll say about Mr. Robot was the guy who wrote Mr. Robot hated the movie Hackers because it was too fake. So, he made all the hacking real.
Yeah.
But all the interaction parts were kind of flimsy.
Yeah.
But I watched that show live every time.
When is Hackers Day? We didn't do that this year.
It's not yet. Not until September.
Okay. Don't pass me up on it. Remind me. Like, because... like, I gotta remind my because last year, I reminded my coworker, and he watched it for the first time. So, this year, I want to remind all my coworkers. Mm. That's when Hackers Day.
Well, you pointed out in August, the day that he hacked the system. Like, yeah. I didn't know about that date. So, I gotta put that on the calendar,
too. Yeah.
I watch Hackers twice a year. I don't care.
I don't need to watch it. Just need to be aware of it.
Oh, no. I have to watch it every year.
No, I need. I'll watch it. I'll watch it again, because I don't care. It's a fucking fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Risk architecture will change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, like, you're elite! Hey, Grandpa, we say elite now.
Whatever happened to society, Joel?
I believe the government did.
I think the government co-opted revolution.
Because think about it. Back in the 1800s, there wasn't much government. We did crazy-ass shit. When we got more government, we do less crazy-ass shit.
Well, the problem was we had too much government, and then George Washington came out of the fucking woods with his sword and his wooden teeth saying, ah, fucker, you want some of this? And he's 6'5", like fucking the comedian said, and it's like, then we had less government because they didn't want to fuck with that. And then it's like, well, and now we're back to having too much government and they're taxing everything fucking three or four times and fucking...
I was watching Fat with Christian the other day with Christy, and they talked about how, like, when we first became a government, there was pirates, I think it was Smalley Pirates or something like that. They kept... apparently, we just kept paying them off, and the government's like, no, we ain't doing that. We're going to build a navy. We're going to fuck you up. And the guy, and basically, whoever, I forget who the president was, like, if anything looks like they're going to fuck with you, you fuck with them first.
Mm-hmm.
So then he wrote a letter, I'm like, fuck you guys. We ain't paying shit. Send the navy out.
I love this. I forget the guy's name now, but I'm very sad that I can't remember the guy's name, because it was like during the Revolutionary War, this guy's like, fuck it. Like, they're attacking us over here. I'm going to sail over there. I'm going to fuck them up. So he sailed over to England and started fucking raiding towns and stuff. But he was from America, like a revolutionary guy, just to show them we could fucking do the same thing to them.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he was like, fucking hero of the war, like, type of thing. Like, fucking legend. Like, yeah, we're going to fuck you up on your town. Like, brutal stuff back then. Fucking amazing. That guy, what the hell's the name of that comedian? He's fucking hilarious. He's talking about, oh yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're safe. We're across this frozen river. It's Christmas Day. Nobody's crazy enough to come fuck with us, except fucking George Washington. Christmas morning, George Washington is rowing across a frozen river to fuck your shit up.
Well, they do it, they're like, oh, the England didn't know about camouflage. Bright red things, let's go march into
this. Let's all line up, and we're going to agree to meet at this time in this place, and we're going to shoot you, and you're going to shoot us, and we're going to see who's left and left standing. Like, you people didn't watch Braveheart. One of my favorite things of Braveheart was the fact that, like, they had lined the field with, like, oil or something.
Mm-hmm.
So when the fucking they got in there, they just lit it on fire. It's like, eh, it's your ass now, fucker. That's like, asymmetrical warfare.
That's like we were watching the ATM last time, finishing it off, and like there's a scene where like all the ground crew are like, wait. No, the guy just said it, it's like, light them up! And there's like a wall of fire, like, whoa, what the fuck just happened there?
Yeah. Oh, you dummies.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at for time? Because I gotta...
45.
Oh, shit, good, I gotta pee.
Okay, so, we'll call it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 56 of the Mention the Machine podcast. We did some mentioning and some machining and some bitching and some complaining, but we're out of here.
Yeah, we are. Later.
That wraps up another episode of the Mention the Machine. If you would like to contact or subscribe to the podcast, please visit TheMentionTheMachine.com. If you would like to leave a voicemail, please call 412-294-8557.
Hello, beautiful people and unbeautiful people. I need you to say something prolific right now.
Hello, Ugmos and Slugmos.
Good enough.
It'll do, bear. Or pig.
It'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
That scene makes me cry every time. Mm. That man.